Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are blessed to be back in the studio. Thank you, Jesus.
Yay.
And we have Tara Rye and her new progress.
Being birthed.
being birthed. Bible study called Wishing Forward, 7 Moments Jesus Prayed. And we started it last month. And she's already getting requests to have it, hurry up and have it done.
Yeah, it's...
We need, I think, as a nation, we need to remember the power of prayer.
Oh,
and it's always good to know that God puts it on his servant's heart to pray.
I'm sorry.
She's crying.
It just hit me so hard when you just said we need to pray, and that's really my heart's desire. Yeah. Sorry, it hit me so fast.
I'm like, what did I say?
I could nothing. You didn't say anything.
I just love the fact that we need reminders, and he's so gentle with his reminders, but there's power in prayer.
Yes, there is. You know, this series means a lot to me because it is 7 moments. Luke took the time where the other gospel writers did not point these out clearly. Now, John gives us clearly in John 17, and that's what we covered, what would have been actually... last month, the Jesus's prayer, you know, for
you
the
can
glory.
Podcast that.
You can go to the podcast at terrorrye.com and listen to it. Just for the glory of the Father to be revealed through, you know, what he's done and accomplished on this earth, that people will know the Father and the world will know the Father through what's been done, and for that spirit of oneness in our lives. Luke then takes 7 moments, and in these particular moments, he points out the times that Jesus prayed. And these moments, you could just quickly just glance over it because we get so caught up in the story surrounding because the powerful, miraculous healing that takes place, that oftentimes we might ignore the little phrase that just says, Jesus prayed. And none of the Gospels except for Luke says in where Jesus gets baptized. Luke tells us that when John went to baptize him, Jesus prayed. And that's where we're going to sit this month. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell us the four story and then the moment that Jesus prayed story within Luke. And it's Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 23 that I will be telling. And just to get us drawn into what happened at this particular time. Now, I will give backstory before I get to the Jesus prayed part because I want us to hear about John the Baptist and how he was the forerunner. And so I'm going to give you a little background story that I will tell through. Okay, it was during the year, the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, that the word of God, it came to John the Baptist, and he was the one that was chosen to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. And he went out into the desert, and he was preaching loudly to the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And he worked faithfully to prepare the way for Christ's coming. He was so unusual of a man. He dressed in camel's fur for his tunic, and he had a leather belt, and he ate locusts and honey. And it didn't matter that he was unusual and strange. The people were flocking to him to hear what he had to say. And as he was faithful in preaching repentance, the people began to repent, and they followed through with baptism. And one day when he looked out in the crowd, he saw that the religious leaders had come. And he looked at them and he shouted out at them, "You brood of vipers, who told you of the coming wrath to come?" And he's just shouting at them and he says, "Produce the fruit of keeping with repentance. Don't think that you can say, 'We are Abraham's children,' for I tell you that God can take these stones and make children for Abraham." And then he lifted up his hand and he said, "The axe is already lifted up at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut and thrown into the unquenchable fire. I tell you," he said, "I baptize with water and repentance, but the one that comes after me, he will be more powerful than I am. I'm not even fit to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. and the winnowing fork is in his hand as he stands at the threshing floor, and he's going to gather up all the wheat and put it in the barn, and anything that is chaff he is going to throw into the unquenchable fire. And immediately the people ran up and said, "What? What shall we do?" And he looks at them and he says, "If you have two tunics, give one away. And if you have food, do the same." And immediately the tax collectors came forward and they said, "Well, what do we do?" And he said, "Don't collect more than what you should." And then the soldiers came up and they asked, "Well, what do we do?" And he says, "Don't accuse falsely, don't extort, and be content with your pay." Well, as John kept preaching, one day he looked out, and then the people walking towards him was Jesus. And Jesus had traveled all the way from Galilee for John to baptize him. And as he got near John, John looked at him and he says, "Why do you come to me? I need to be baptized by you." And Jesus looked at him and he said, "Let it be so now, in order to fulfill all righteousness." And John finally consented. And as he went to baptize Jesus, Jesus prayed. And as he came up out of the water from the sky, John saw the Holy Spirit come down and land on Jesus as a dove. And then the sky of heaven opened up and the voice of heaven called out, "You are my son, whom I love, and I am well pleased." Jesus was about 30 years of age when this happened, and immediately the Holy Spirit took him off into the desert, and there he fasted for 40 days. For 40 days, he fasted, and at the end of it, Satan came and began to tempt him. Now, Jesus countered every temptation with the Word of God, and Satan had no say against that. So he left and waited for another time to come after Jesus. And then the angels came and ministered to him. When he finished in the desert, he then began his ministry. And that's when Jesus went out and began to do what the Father sent him to do, to preach, teach, and heal. That is the story surrounding when Jesus prayed at his baptism. I love this passage because it is an example for us that Jesus prayed in times of obedience. His baptism was the first act of obedience for his ministry, the very first act of obedience. And as I was pondering this time and just all that it culminated around it, you know, from John the Baptist and about repentance and how he preached about a repentance that, you know, was with water, a baptism of water, but Jesus was going to bring the Holy Spirit in fire. And how Jesus, he could have chose to go to the synagogues, but he didn't. He could have chose to do the spiritual washings that they had within their law, but he didn't. He chose to go to the desert where John was, the one that was sent to prepare the way for him. And his first act of obedience was going before him and allowing him to baptize him. Now, scripture is very clear. Jesus was perfectly innocent. There was no sin in him. So the question I asked myself is like, why did Jesus need to be baptized? Why did the Father have it set up that Jesus would follow through with baptism? And I was praying and just thinking, and I don't know how many times I went through this passage, but then I started thinking about Jesus's words. And Jesus said, "Let it be so in order to fulfill all righteousness." His act of obedience in baptism was the beginning fulfillment of what the Father sent him to do. And it was to fulfill all righteousness. Not some, not partial, all righteousness. It was the beginning of opening up to what he had come to do. And so if he did not do it, it would have not been, because that was the first act of obedience. And I mean, that blew my mind away, because think about how baptism does not save us.
Right.
It's a show of it, but it is our first act mm-hmm. of obedience as a believer to reveal to those that we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with the concept of that we are looking at wishing forward, looking at Jesus prayed, and remember we talked last month about that it's prosukomai, and that means to wish forward or to desire or to want or to pray. And that's why I've chosen the word wishing forward, the 7 moments Jesus prayed. What was it that Jesus was wishing forward towards? And that is the key, because he prayed in his obedience at his baptism. So what was it he was wishing forward to? And that's what we're going to unpack this month. Hmm. Okay, we're going to look at that and dialogue. And so when you're thinking through this story, and the telling of it, Sabrina, what was the first thing that came to your mind as you were listening to it, whatever part it may be?
Well, I think the first part, actually, because yesterday at church, we were in Luke, talking about the temptation of Christ. And so for me, hearing that yesterday and then just rehearing just a quick version of you saying he was tempted, every time he was tempted, he used the word of God. And I guess that's really what I was thinking about, because it was so thick yesterday and how we're so tempted. But he, in his fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, hungry, tired, and here comes the enemy with an attack, which we all deal with. And Tara and I shared, you know, I definitely am dealing with that. And just to bring the word of God, you know, for he is weak and we are strong. I mean,
completely.
For we are strong when he is. Yeah, that's what I meant.
You said it right. Yeah. I mean.
And the word of God is just so, it's so powerful. And just hearing it again when you were saying the forerunner and John the Baptist. And I think we're all called to be the forerunners of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That we interact with, to pave the way for those who, I've been around so many people that are just so tired of church and churchgoers. And so I think those are some of the key things that came out to me, was I'm called to be a forerunner and make those act of obedience, even when I don't feel like it. And choosing obedience and choosing the word of God and knowing that there's power in the word, instead of thinking, woe was me.
And you know, Sabrina, you said a key phrase in there that I really want to hone in on, the choice of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
It is a choice to obey. And just as Jesus had a choice to go forward to John and allow John to baptize him, and John had a choice as well.
Mm-hmm.
He could have said, no, I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus explained to him, it was to fulfill all righteousness. The scripture says that John consented and baptized Jesus, and Jesus prayed. That's the wording in the NIV. And so that it's that heart to obey, even when it doesn't make sense to us, because John is looking at him. He knows he's the forerunner to the Lamb of God. And in other gospel accounts, he's like, look, here comes the Lamb of God. And he's speaking that before the religious leaders. So the religious leaders at that time would have had in their mind the mindset of the Old Testament concept of what a lamb mm-hmm. of God was.
Sacrifice.
And a lamb of God was a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And you add that to the fact that moments before he would have said that, he was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repentance, in order for it to be forgiven in Old Testament, had to have the sacrifice of a lamb. And so he is shouting at them, telling them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, and here comes the Lamb of God. And he says, look, there he is. The one I'm not fit to tie his shoe, that's the Lamb of God. He is the pure sacrifice, the pure and holy sacrifice. And they would have gotten it. Whereas our readers today may not understand the whole measure behind a lot of those statements unless they've studied the Old Testament and the New Testament. For them, it would have been very clear that he was a pure sacrifice, and being of God, the chosen one. And as we dialogue in the next few weeks, we're going to actually talk about the fact that the voice of God speaks. And, you know, and the dove, the Holy Spirit comes, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it's in order. It's the Holy Spirit comes and then the voice of God speaks. But we will look at that and examine why that was. The yes. key thing that we really want to understand is that Scripture shows us the heart of Jesus was obedience. And he was going forward and doing it even when man said, no, you shouldn't be. John tried to mm-hmm. stop him from doing what he knew what he was supposed to do. And there's going to be times in our life when we are moving forward in obedience and someone will say to us, oh, why are you doing this? It shouldn't be this way, which is what John did. And we're going to have to know well enough what the will of the Father is mm-hmm. in walking in obedience to say, no, in order for righteousness to be fulfilled now in me, I must move forward in this act of obedience. And that's where, you know, praying into the mm-hmm. circumstances enables us to move forward in obedience when our heart, our mind, our hands, our feet, and even our hair, you know, just sometimes, don't you know what I'm talking about when your yes. hair is even irritated because you don't want to move forward in obedience?
Everything.
It's crazy, isn't it? And, you know, and being that Sabrina and I are good enough friends, I could see on her face, and I know she can see on my face, when our lives, there's something not right.
Right.
You can just, it's just, you know each other well enough.
Right, yeah.
And you can see that burden on each other. I know I've had many times where Greg would say, I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah.
You're weary. I can see it in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, I shouldn't have it showing, but it shows because I am who I am.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then being able to move forward, it's so important, that act of obedience. And when Jesus went up and John baptized him, and then it tells us that he prayed. We're going to be close to closing here. We just have a little bit of time left, about a minute. It doesn't tell us what he prayed. I wonder what he said to the Father as he was going under. He told John it was to fulfill all righteousness now. Mm-hmm. Actually, it says now, to fulfill all righteousness now. You know, Father, here I am. I'm doing your will. You know, I would have loved to have known what the prayer would have been at that moment, to hear his heart as he was talking to the Father. And you know the Father's pleasure, because when he was speaking in his heart, because it wasn't audible, because this was not recorded. If it would have been audible, we'd have been given it, surely. Mm-hmm. The Father speaks to him audibly in response.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks to him visibly in response. And so you're going to want to come back next week as we talk about the value and importance of the dove and the Holy Spirit coming, and also the voice of heaven opening up and speaking forth into him, and what that speaks into our lives today. God bless.